Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow has been teaching from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The subject has been the Good Shepherd, sharing with us from the Scriptures the relationship the Good Shepherd has with the Father and his sheep. In this sermon, we will also grow in our understanding of God's love for Jesus and why God loves us. Let's listen and learn.
Now, at this point in the evolution of my theological thinking, a process which I'm still growing and hope to continue to grow to the day I die. Heard somebody make a statement one day, and they said, "The reason I know I'm brilliant because I know I'm not, and therefore I'm willing to learn." Did you hear what I just said? He said, "The reason why I know I'm brilliant because I know I'm not brilliant, therefore I'm willing to keep learning." I like that. Amen. So I'm still growing in this, still growing in grace, still growing in knowledge of God's word, still don't get it all. Amen. But I'm really questioning God as to how someone can testify to being saved and Holy Spirit filled, but never see this truth in the Word of God. And even more puzzling is the fact that some will argue with you that, you know, what saved you is being holy rather than the death of Christ. I don't understand that. Now, God has not illuminated my mind to answer this question yet, at least not in a way that satisfies my mind. Even though I really believe many of these people are genuinely saved, I still don't understand why the Holy Spirit has never illumined their mind to this truth in order they can truly see that salvation, it is all of the Lord. For it was Jesus who laid his life down for the sheep in order to save from all that our sin did to us, with the ultimate consequence of eternally separating us from God in torment. Amen? It wasn't God's love that saved us. It was Jesus' death. Yes. Him being stressed out on that cross is what paid the debt in full forever and nothing else. And we ought never to forget that. Amen. That the Lord gave a lot when he gave his life. Amen. Because it was his death that gave us life. It was his death that gave us everything that God has to give. Number three, the Father's love of his Son, Jesus, it is unique between Christ and his Father. The Lord says in this verse, "For this reason the Father loves me." The love which Jesus says his Father has towards him when he says in this verse, "For this reason the Father loves me," it is a love which is totally unique to Jesus. And it once again proves Jesus is in a class all by himself. And I say this because the Father loves the Son because of what he did when he laid his life down on the cross. Now, some of you say, "I don't see no difference." I see a big difference. There is a difference between the love God has for us, as revealed in texts such as John 3:16, "For God so loved that we would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." This is a difference. And some of y'all looking at me funny. You see, God's love for us, it is a love not based upon what we have done or doing right now or will do. God's love for us is not based upon us. Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness as filthy rags." See me after church and I'll tell you what the literal Hebrew says about what those rags are. Amen. "And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." God's love for and towards us is not based on anything we had done or doing right now or will do in the future, because from God's perspective, you know, there is none righteous, not even one. Romans 3:11 through 12, for there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. God's love for us, it has absolutely nothing to do with how lovely we are in his sight. Amen. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see one righteous person. Not even one. You see, when God loves us, it is based totally upon who he is and nothing else. Because the Bible says, 1 John 4:8, God is love. The reason why God loves us is because of him. God doesn't look upon us and say, man, that Dave Kendall is such a great guy. Don't he look good? He really is something, man. He can parse the Greek and all this kind of stuff. He knows systematic theology. He knows biblical theology. He knows hermeneutics. He knows homiletics. He's done this. No, God don't see all that. See, God loves me because of who he is. And the Bible says God is love. God's essential nature is love. And so God's love for us, it is purely based upon what is in him. This is why none of us could legitimately testify that God loves me because I'm so good or holy or just. But we can only say God loves us because of who he is, and he is love. Amen. And you know, that's good news. What if God's love for you depended upon you? What if God's love for you depended on you? He could never love you because his holy nature would not permit such. But thank God, God is love. And because of who he is, he loves us unconditionally. But Jesus was different. Here we go again. He's different. Biologically the same, but he's different. He's way up here. Amen. Right up there with God. And we're way down here. Closer to the devil. Amen. Y'all think about it. We just a step above him. Amen. Jesus was different. He was in a class all by himself. You know why? Because he could say, the Father loves me because of what I do. The Father loves me because of what? I will lay down my life for the sheep. The Father loves him because of what he did. And what he does. No other man could ever say God loves him because of who I am. Jesus was so good that the Father loved him because of who he was and what he did. He was completely human in every sense apart from sin, and thus he was like us from the standpoint of biological makeup, but at the same time he was not like us by the distance of infinity, because he was so good that his actions, his behavior, his life pleased the Father. It moved the Father to love him. The Father loved him because I will do this. This cannot be said of anyone else, but only of Jesus, the Son of God, the God who was also man and the man who was God. Jesus is the only man to ever walk this earth who could say the Father loves me because of me. Amen. See, I'm saying that to say he's in a class all by himself. And that's why I have a big problem with trying to put someone else in the same class as Jesus. That's why you would never hear me talking about winter solace. It's Christmas. Amen. We are celebrating Christ. Amen. Because you can't mention anybody else, even in the same sentence with him. Amen. I mean, you can't. Nobody compare. You can't. He's not even in the same. I don't even know how. Just infinite. He's infinitely distant from any of us. Amen. He was so good and so lovely that the Father looked at him and said, "Wow. This is my beloved son. Hear him." Amen. Now, when he looks at us, God says, "Wow, look at that." Amen. Distinct difference. He's not winter solace. He's not Kwanzaa. He's not all this other stuff. Amen. He stands in a class all by himself. Amen. So, and we need to glorify him as such. Amen. Amen. I don't have a problem putting Jesus way up here and all of us down in the dirt. Don't have a problem. I don't have a problem because, you know, as John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoelaces. Amen. And then the Lord's resurrection from the dead is the proof that we have been redeemed. Jesus said, the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay my life down that I might take it again. Jesus' resurrection from the dead, or when he took his life again. And I'll get to this next week. See, we're talking about Jesus. He like us, but not like us. Amen. They couldn't kill him. Unless he wanted. He went because he chose it. Right. And he told him, y'all ain't got no power against me. If I wanted to, I'd call an angel and kill everybody. Amen. I'd call a legion of angels and everybody's had it. He told Pilate, you ain't got no power against me. See, he died because he chose to die. When he died, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit in the Greek language. It is an act of volition. So he died when he got ready. Amen. They didn't take his life. They didn't take his life. He died. It's ready. I'm out of here. He died of his own volition. But not only that, he could take his life back again. Amen. I'll die when I want. And then when I'm ready to get about the grave, I'll do that. Amen. And so his resurrection is the ultimate proof that we have been justified by God, declared to be innocent by God of all sin. Romans 5:25. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised for our justification. NIV most illuminating in this. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised for our justification. Jesus died to pay up our sin and in full, to perfectly satisfy the just wrath of God upon us for our sin. What lets us know his death really did accomplish that is that he rose from the dead. Those who are saved, who are chosen by God in the salvation before the foundation of the world, for whatever reason God chose you. I'm not arguing with that one today. Those who were his sheep before they were a sheep. As we saw last Sunday, you were declared by God righteous, justified, declared innocent by God of all of our sin when Jesus rose from the dead. Why? He was raised for our justification. Yes. Yes. Justification is a declaration made by God that those who are in Christ, as far as I'm concerned, are innocent of all sin. That's his resurrection. Then my last point, and I'm out of here. Jesus laying down his life for us is the ultimate proof of his love for us. Now, I had to really think about was I going to really share this with you this morning, but I decided I would. Jesus laying down his life for us on the cross, laying down his life for his sheep, it was the ultimate proof of his love for us. It was the ultimate act of sacrifice for us. Ephesians 5:2 states it like this, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. He gave himself up for us because he loved us. And Lord giving himself up, it is proof of the ultimate love. There are some folks who are carnal, worldly, fleshly, who do not believe Jesus laying down his life for his sheep or his people on the cross was the ultimate proof of his love for us. You see, they think any human can die for another. And they think, well, that's happened a lot of times in history, Pastor. Dr. Kendall, that's happened a lot of people die for one another. This is why some who I put in the category of false teachers, they do not believe the Lord redeemed us on the cross. Because they said anybody could pay that price. But they say we were redeemed when Jesus went to hell for us. The Bible don't teach that, amen. Well, God caught Satan on the technicality. The Bible don't say that, amen. And their so-called proof is the fact that, you know, we have all probably heard of parents giving their lives for their children or their families. I've read of accounts of men who willingly gave up their seats on lifeboats, knowing they would shortly be dead after the Titanic was struck by an iceberg and doomed to the bottom of the Atlantic. I'm a kind of an amateur historian, and I just read all the time, amen. That's one of my problems. Every time my mom would call me, what you doing, boy? I bet you over there with a book or something, ain't you? Yes, mother. Amen. And so I'm a vociferous. I love to read. I love to study, and I could just do it all day. Amen. But I remember one time I read an account of, it was one of the survivors of the Titanic. And at the time I was reading it, I think she was still alive. She was quite elderly, and she remembers her father on the boat after the Titanic was struck. And he put all of his family on the boat, and he stayed on. And he said his last word to her, "Don't worry, baby, it'll be all right." He died an hour later. So you read of things like that, and I just wonder today how many parents would, let me move on, amen. You know, we're living in a new day now, man, with parents, man. You know, hey, it's about me. I ain't leaving you nothing. Y'all think I know parents right now. Everything they've saved and earned, they say, "Well, I'm giving this to the South. I'm giving it to St. Jude Hospital. You ain't getting it." And I'm still trying to get in touch with parents that don't really love their children. I'm still trying to get in touch with parents that would not give their all for their children. Amen. I have no point of reference. It's something foreign to me. Amen. That I would put myself before Miss Maya. But we've all heard of parents way long time ago who would give their life. Long time ago, the father would give his life for his family. Long time ago, the father would give his life for his family. Nowadays, you hear noise downstairs late at night. He's telling his wife, go check that out. Amen. While he upstairs. Amen. I've read of accounts of men who are engaged in battle, gave their lives for their brothers in combat. And these are truly historic acts, but they are infinitely inferior to Jesus laying down his life for his sheep, his people. I say this because of who Jesus is and who we are. See, this is what reveals the fact that Jesus laying down his life for us, it is the ultimate proof of his love for us. You see, beloved, even though Jesus was completely human, with the exception he had no sin nature like all of us, he was also eternally God, the creator of all things. Yet he veiled his glory and chose not to exercise the things he had a right to exercise as God in order to take upon himself the form of a slave and die. Philippians 2:5-8 says it like this, New American Standard. Let me go there in New American Standard and read it to you, because I have another translation, and then I'm going to say what I say and I'm going to sit down. Philippians 2:5-8, it says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or utilized or asserted, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant," that's a slave, "and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Amplified Bible says this, "Let this attitude and purpose and mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think equality with God was a thing to be eagerly retained, but stripped himself of the privileges and rights of his dignity, so as to assume the guise of a slave or a servant, and that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross." This verse teaches us that Jesus was eternally God. He existed eternally with the Father, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God. Yet he did not think his equality with the Father was something to be retained or utilized or asserted. Therefore, the Lord, he laid his rights and privileges as God aside. He veiled himself, took upon himself a form of a slave. Y'all don't get it, amen. Took upon himself the form of a slave. I don't know if anybody saw 12 Years a Slave. Anybody see that? How many of y'all would volunteer for that? If you don't get an opportunity, see that movie. He made himself a slave. And then he humbled himself by being obedient, even the death of the cross. And it was to redeem us, reconcile us back to God. See, this was the ultimate proof of Christ's love towards us, because Jesus was and he is God. But he willingly chose to lay aside his glory and his rights and privileges as God that he equally shared with the Father. And he took the form of a slave in order to die for us. Jesus was not the average Joe dying for his friend. Amen. He was not a parent dying for a child. He was not a Marine dying to save another Marine. He was God, the creator of all things, who laid aside the right to exercise what he had as a right to exercise, because he's God. And because of the distance between the sacrifice Jesus made when he gave his life for us on our behalf, from any of us dying for anybody else, it is the distance of infinity. Look at the heavens on a clear night, and this is just a very small example of Jesus' greatness. For the heavens are the work of his hands, which he spoke into existence out of nothing. For this great and awesome God who flung out trillions of stars, the Bible says, he has a name for all of them. For him to be so humble that he would lay aside his seat on the throne in absolute equality with the Father and become a slave to die for us, it is unthinkable. But he did, out of his infinite love for us. He wasn't just somebody. Gave up a lot. Most of y'all won't even give up a 5-spot to the Salvation Army ringing the bell. Amen. You be digging for change. Let me see what I got. Pull out a Dodge tooth. $1 bill. That's too much. Still looking. I'm saying most of us ain't giving up much for nobody. Because we love ourselves too much. I can use that dollar, child. He gave up everything. And became a slave. See, y'all don't get it. He had to become a slave because that's what you are, we are, in our sin. See, he had to be a total substitute for us for everything that our sin did. We were slaves of sin. He made himself a bondservant, a slave. And humbled himself. Took all that beating, all that whooping, all that spit upon, all that stuff, and died for us. It shows his love for us. And then there's this. The infinite greatness of Jesus dying for us can be better seen by noticing he died for us. So the question is, who is us? And not only who is us, but what is us? Now, I know that doesn't grammatically sound correct, and I did it on purpose. Amen. Who is us and what is us in the eyes of God? You know, as we ponder this question, most of us do not see just how sinful and thus utterly repugnant we are from God's perspective. Amen. And I say this because us is sinners in a big way. You see it in both Old and New Testaments. David says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. In the New Testament, 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 of the same chapter, if we say we have not sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When we read verses like this in reference to our sin, most of us think of ourselves as sinners from a human perspective, which means we're not really that bad. At least not as bad as somebody else that we think is spiritually inferior to us. You know, we think those who have committed some hideous sin, they're worse. No, they're not. We think folks who live in a different neighborhood than us, we got the edge. But from God's perspective, which is the same perspective of Jesus, because remember, he is God. We're not that attractive because of our sinful nature and our individual acts of sin. You see, beloved, because of our sin, we are utterly repugnant to the holy God. Yes. You know, Job 25, don't go down, just read it. Job 25, 4 through 6, it contains a speech that was made by one of Job's friends in an attempt to get Job to see just how worthless man was and how holy and majestic God is. See, Job had been complaining that he had a right to have a hearing before God, and God had to tell him why he was going through something. He thought he had a right. God got to tell me why I'm going through all this. Now, when you first read through Job, Bildad was talking foolishness. But this time he got it right. And so Bildad spoke the following words in order to get Job to see he had no right to say, I have a right to come before God and I have a right to get an answer from God. So Bildad says this, how then can a man be just with God? Or how can he be clean who was born of a woman? If even the moon has no brightness and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man, that maggot, and the son of man, that worm. One of my favorite rediscovered theologians, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he says this about that quote. He says, people today talk about us having come from a worm. He's talking about evolution. He said, we haven't come from a worm. Friends, we are worms. Amen. That is what we are now in God's sight. How many of you would give your life for a maggot? How many of you would give your life for a night crawler? A worm on the sidewalk? Let me see a raise of hands. How many of you would open up a garbage can and see the maggots in it and say, I'm ready to die for them? No, we say, ugh. But you must understand, Jesus was so pure and so holy in comparison to us because we have a sin nature, which is so repugnant to God. You have to understand, to him, we look like worms and maggots. Most just cannot comprehend that Jesus is so sinless and so holy and so right and so pure that us standing beside him, we look like maggots. Yet Christ still gave his life for us in order that we could appear before his Father just as righteous as he is. Amen. That's the magnitude of his love for us and for you. Amen. What a sacrifice the Lord gave for us when he laid his life down. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad he did. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful word this morning. I pray that it'll sink down deep in our hearts and in our souls, and that we have heard the word of the Lord this morning. Lord, help us to remember that the Father loves the Son eternally because there's a relationship there. Lord, help us to remember that Jesus laying down his life is what saved us from our sin. Lord, help us to know that Jesus' love between him and his Father, it is unique love. Lord, help us to remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It is proof that we are righteous and justified before God. And then, Lord, help us to remember that Jesus laying down his life for us, it was the ultimate act of love in this universe, who we are and who he is. Amen. Amen. Perhaps there's someone today, you're not saved. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. We want this to be your day. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is by repentance of sin and faith in Jesus. If there is one today and you've never given your life to the Lord, you can do so this morning. These altar workers are just here to help you and pray with you. If there is one today, would you raise your hand? Pray for everybody in the room today. I pray that you know this Jesus that we've been talking about, who is the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. I pray for the many requests and many needs today. And I know this is a celebratory time of the year. But for others who have lost loved ones, it wears on you. Amen. And so, Lord, help us, those of us who have lost loved ones recently, and we're just not over it yet. Lord, give us grace to make it through this time of the year. Lord, I pray for the needs. Lord, I pray for healing, for sickness, and I still pray for jobs and all of those necessities that we need, that God has promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, we look to you and we trust in you for all things. Father, I praise you and thank you as always for the opportunity to preach and give this good word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a great message. The Good Shepherd's purpose for coming into this world, to lay down his life for his sheep. What an act of love displayed on the cross for a people who did not deserve it. What an act of mercy and grace. Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures.